how that's going to be better than the one on your left hand.
I don't either. But we plan on doing something to...
Check. Okay.
We have a plan in order to make this, in order to do it blindly and in order to make it work right, which is that the glasses that come from the Saber event we go to have the same width and feel the same on your mouth. So we're going to try to do this blind with the same IPA and sort of mix and match and see if we can tell that there's a difference. I mean, actually, like,
blind or it's blind just sold. All marketing.
I mean, I think to a certain extent, there's going to be not marketing.
I just don't see how this would really improve it versus that. But
yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the main difference might be that, oh, because it's an IPA, you don't want to serve it in a glass that looks like it's for cognac or a Chimay, but.
These are actually, technically, they're Pilsner glasses.
Well, that's what they call them. I think they changed the name, actually.
Oh, really?
Now they have a different glass that they call for Pilsner. So yeah. It's more fluted like you would think.
You
so, Shane,
think
if you want some headphones or some headphones right there.
Oh, we're actually on, huh?
We are, yes.
Oh, we've been recording since we started.
No, just since I did the check thing. And then, you know, just try to stay on mic. It makes it sound better. You don't sound like you're far away across the room.
I'll just get a little closer
that's,
here.
That's
and more
a lot
intimate.
Better than, yeah, than when you were sitting back. But you didn't know we were being recorded.
I didn't
recorded,
know we were
so,
recording here. Right. I thought we were still just shooting the shit. Yeah, so.
Well, we are shooting the shit. That's
we
the
are.
Pre-show.
Well, you know,
yeah,
it's very pre-show.
Anyway, hey, everybody. My good friend Shane is here from Japan. Surprise. Surprise all of us.
Yes, it was a surprise to me as well.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
And that's all about all I can say. That's, sayonara.
That's not bad. That's enough to get you a blowjob. So, you laugh. I'm not joking. I didn't mean that sort of configuratively. Is that the right word? No, figuratively. But people, when you speak a little bit of Japanese, they kind of get really excited that you're trying to speak their language. And after living there 11 years, when I say konnichiwa, and they go, "Oh my god. Your Japanese is so good." Yeah. You kind of want to smack them because it's like, I have been here 11 years. I can say hello. I did learn how to say hello.
So how many years has it been since Shane was on the show? Do you remember? Do you remember?
I'm going to say he was probably on the show in 2008.
That sounds about right. It would have been 7 or 8 because I'd already moved to Tokyo. So yeah, it sounds about right.
Okay. I was just wondering. Because it seemed like a long, long time ago.
Yeah, it
seemed
a
like a
time.
Long time ago.
Well, so you're drinking. What are we drinking?
It's very heavy in
the
alcohol.
The Buckeye Brewing 76 India Pale
tastes
Ale.
Tastes like a 9 or 10%.
Let's see here.
Something. It's up there.
I don't think it is. It has a nice, great, bright, juicy hop character to it. It's probably 7, be my guess. The original Gravity, I could tell you that. It was that's where the name comes from, because it's 1076.
It's 7.8.
So yeah, the 76 India Pale Ale, the original Gravity was 1.076.
Which I am drinking out of the Spielglau IPA glass. And oh my god!
Is it a hop cannon? That's what Sam called it.
A hop cannon.
That barrel at the bottom is like a cannon that drives the hops right up your nose.
Well, you know what? I won't be able to tell unless I try it a little bit in the other Spielberg glass. Let's see.
Hop cannon.
Tonight's not the like double that. Blind tasting or anything. We just pulled it out because we're drinking a bunch of IPAs.
There's too many variables here. You've got a lot of head on the hop cannon. And
yeah. No, but there's a difference.
Well, yeah, and they're not even, you know, close to being poured the same. But here, if this head ever grows down, I'd be excited to try it.
So Jeff is now tasting out the Spielglau.
I'm definitely not that sensitive. That's why I like IPAs, probably.
Yeah, it was a little maltier, right?
Yeah.
Just a little maltier out of the hop cannon.
And but a little more bitter too. Mm-hmm. Some of the things were a little more accentuated. But
we'll have to try to get a little more better comparison pour, because I poured the hop cannon first, and for some reason with the neck and everything, it just went carbonation. So like the whole bottom part of the whole barrel of the cannon there is filled with foam.
I mean, I would say it does taste subtly different from one to the other, but I don't know how much of that is just psychological.
Right.
So that's why we need to do the blind testing.
But if you think it tastes better, then why care about the blind taste testing, right? If you buy a glass that's always going to tell your brain that the beer is better, what is wrong with that?
There's something...
There's a lot wrong with that, but that's... well, there's also a lot good with that.
If you enjoy it better.
That's right. There's also a lot of good with
that. Yeah.
As well. I think Greg's going to try to turn this into his how psychics are bad and how eternal earthbound pets wasn't a great business idea.
No, I wasn't thinking along that angle. What I was thinking was essentially, you're right. I mean, if you put more value to something and you enjoy it because of the vessel that it's in, then you should go along doing that. Even if you can't objectively say so, what that means is you can't tell other people objectively this is better, but you can say for you it's better. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No. Every time I go somewhere that sells plates or cups or dishes, my wife gets apeshit over new apes, you know, new glasses. And we have to buy new ones, even though my cupboards are falling out with glasses and plates and silverware.
Well, that's different than having...
Is it, though?
Yeah, because...
That's hoarding.
that's hoarding. This is, like, we've gravitated towards these glasses, and we've gotten them every chance we can. We have... nicked them from places when we could.
And we've purchased them too.
But we found these glasses to be amazing.
I mean, we have very similar Belgian beer glasses that the glass just isn't the same. Yeah. And I think we can objectively say...
say that we enjoy the beer more out of these glasses than other ones.
And I can understand.
And empirically
there's a limit to that. You go to a certain point, you get something you like, and then just, you know.
But that's it. But we don't go crazy for glasses. I mean, for a while, Jeff was collecting different glasses, but now we really just use these.
Yeah, and that's see, you've reached the sort of pinnacle, the plateau. That's where my wife has not yet reached.
Right, because your wife is going on a different instinct, which is...
excitement over new.
Yeah, it's the Beanie Baby phenomenon,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
It's not. It's about the novelty of the thing as opposed to the functionality of the thing.
Exactly. I mean, the salmon tastes the exact same on both plates.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two guys with wives, and here I am. What, you know, like I say. And I can't credit this myself. This is Jen Kirkman, but I can barely take care of myself. So there's no point in involving anybody else in this monstrosity. So
I don't even know where to go from there.
I wanted to hear. Now, Chaney told me a very interesting story about how you got stuck in America.
Oh, God.
Were you in a transit zone? You couldn't get asylum anywhere?
Yeah, he leaked Japanese secrets. That was,
no, I have not leaked any Japanese secrets yet. Not been laid off yet. So I guess I'll try to keep this as succinct as possible. But let's see here. So I was in South America last week, going on a tour, doing some seminars, some lectures, and came back up through Washington D.C. and New York to do a couple meetings with our offices there. And on my flight from Miami to Washington, D.C., Dulles, I left my passport in an envelope on the plane with some other documents. I had fallen asleep. It's been a long trip. And probably, you know, stood up or something like that, fell on the floor, didn't notice that it was there. So anyway, I realized this the next morning. And then follows the me trying to get a hold of American Airlines and asking them to see if anybody's found my passport. And this is where the fun begins. So... yeah, let's see here. So let me just preface this with I'm living in Japan where customer service is wonderful and people go head over heels for you at McDonald's if you ask for anything. You know, I would like a Wendy's hamburger at McDonald's and they'll go get it for you. So so I'm coming from that perspective. I'm horribly spoiled when it comes to customer service. Mm-hmm. I expect people to bow to me. And
if I may interject, this is horribly spoiled about his butthole.
Yeah.
Because he was complaining to me on the way over that his butthole has been itchy all in America because of our American toilets don't have bidets. And then it's like, you whiny little bitch.
Yes. If you got shit on your hand, would you wipe it off with a towel or would you wash your hands?
Soap.
Right?
Yeah, soap.
Yeah, and water.
And water.
And water, yeah. Yeah. So why is your butt any different?
You're preaching to the choir. Yeah, Greg's okay. Not anti-bidet.
I'm a huge bidet fan.
You're just saying you're a spoiled pussy, that's
but I'm
all.
Just saying
I am a spoiled pussy, I admit that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled with bidets. I'm spoiled with customer service. So anyway, and as you probably are all aware, there's some trouble with airlines in the United States over bankruptcy and keep people keeping their jobs, quality of customer service. So anyway, I go onto the American Airlines homepage to try to figure out who to call to see if anybody's found my pouch and my passport. And it says, if you've left something on the plane, do not contact American Airlines directly. Contact the airport that you landed in because it would be handed over to the lost and found in the airport that you landed in. Okay, fine. So I go to the Washington, D.C. Dulles Airport homepage, which says, gives me a phone number for the lost and found, and I call them. And he says, oh, no, you have to go to the airline. You can't contact us. If you left it on the plane, you have to contact the airline, the baggage sort of lost and found for the airline. So he gives me their phone number. This is like 10 o'clock in the morning, and I call them again. Now I call them for the first time, I say, and it just rings and rings and rings. I let it ring for like a minute because I'm nervous. I need my passport to get back to Japan the following day. This was yesterday. Today I was supposed to go home. So this was yesterday. And they don't answer. So I call the guy back at the airport again and I say, I called them like you told me to, but nobody answered. And he said, well, okay, let me look into that for you. And he puts me on hold for like 10 minutes, literally 10 minutes. It comes back 10 minutes later. He says, yeah, they don't open till noon. Okay, fine. So I wait around till noon, you know, go to some meetings, come back, call them again at noon. And, the phone finally picks up, but it's not a person. It's an answering machine. And the answering machine tells me that if you have lost something, please fill out a fax form describing the item that you have lost. Send it to us. And if we find it, we'll contact you. Implying that if we don't find it, we won't contact you. So I explained on the facts that I need to go home tomorrow on their flight, and then I need to cancel the flight if I don't get my passport. So whether they find it or not, please contact me.
Like to point out, the answering machine didn't open until 12.
Yes. Yes, the answering machine didn't open 12. It could have opened in the morning and told me to send the fax earlier, but it was off duty. So
that's what we get when we allow robots to run things.
Damn robot unions fucking things up.
Yeah. It gets better from there if you want me to keep going.
Yes, please. Please.
So, I send the fax. Nobody obviously calls me because nobody's probably read the fax. And so I call back, you know, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon saying, has anybody gotten my fax? And or to ask if anybody's gotten my fax. But obviously I don't get anybody to get the answer machine again. So I keep calling because it sounds like the answer machine picks up after a couple of calls. And eventually somebody picks up the phone, like an actual person picks up the phone. I'm like, great, I get through. So and I ask him, you know, I sent a fax earlier about my lost passport. I was just wondering if you got the fax, if you'd looked for it. And he said, I got a line of customers in front of me right now. I don't have time to deal with you on the phone. I said, I've lost my passport. I needed to get home. Can I call back later? Can you help me later? Like, can you give me some sort of, you know, answer here as to how I could perhaps go about solving this problem? He said, I don't know. I got customers right now. You have to talk to me later. I don't know what I can do for you. Didn't find it. And he hangs up. And so I call back again a couple minutes later. I'm like, so do you still have customers in front of you? And he says, I'm still really busy. I'm sorry, I can't help you. I've got a lot of customers in front of me. So I said, well, what if I come down to the airport? You know, I'm in a cab right now because obviously you didn't help me on the phone earlier. So I'm in a cab. I'm on my way to the airport. When I get to there at the airport, will you be able to help me then? And he says, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. And so I get there. And the first thing I do is go to the information desk to figure out where that baggage loss claim desk. And I said, tell me two things. Where is the lost and found for American Airlines? And where is the lost and found for the airport? Because maybe it's in the airport one. So he tells me, well, the airport one, that one closed at 3 p.m. Okay. So the American Airlines ones, that's over there in the corner. And I go over there in the corner and I walk in and I was like, I think I called you a few minutes ago. He said, yeah, I spoke to you. I didn't find it. There's nobody around, by the way. There's no customers. So I can only assume that he was probably lying. Maybe there were, I don't know. But anyway, he said, I didn't find it. I'm sorry. I looked for it. I couldn't find it. I'm like, well, can you tell me what I could perhaps do to try to find my passport now, you know, where the plane went. Maybe it's still on the plane. Can someone look on the plane? Maybe somebody turned it in at a different airport. Is there anything I can do? He's like, well, the plane probably went back to Miami. Why don't you try calling Miami? The lost and found, for American Airlines in Miami. I was like, okay, well, can you give me that phone number? He's like, I don't know what to do. So he looks around a bit and I'm like, you know, please, this is an emergency. I need to get home to Japan. It's got my visa in it, my Japanese green card, which took me 10 years to get. I'd really like it back. So he looks around, he finds the number for Miami in a paper that's sitting right in front of him. It's like right, literally right in front of him. And he says, he gives me the phone number and I call them and that number's been disconnected and no longer, or that person is out of service, outside of the service zone. So it might be a cell phone. I don't know. He doesn't know what else to do. He doesn't know what else to call, who to call. So I give up and leave. And I call my father, who works for American Airlines, and who's a pilot for American Airlines. And I have him put a lot of pressure on people internally. And he's calling all around. He gets the tracking number of the plane and asks people to actually get on the plane, look down under the bulkhead. It should be up against the divider between first class and economy where I was sitting. They tell him they've looked. It doesn't sound like they've looked because they've lied to him saying that I just got off the phone with your son, even though I didn't call anybody. And eventually, yeah, at the end of the day, we didn't ever find my passport. So I'm here stuck in this country for a few days until I apply for a new passport. End of story.
It's a good story.
Except for the end.
Well, it's still a good story. I mean, it doesn't have a good ending.
It's a sad ending.
It's a sad
ending. But it's still a good story. Because you went through the circle of change, right? You started in a place of familiarity, yeah. And you reached your deepest, darkest problem, and now you're coming back saying, well, okay, I have to accept that there's nothing they can do. The only thing I can do is...
So you mentioned about the Japanese green card and difficulty of obtaining that. There's no replacements for that, or you can get a replacement?
I can probably get it replaced. I'm married to a Japanese national. It'll be a pain in the butt. It was a pain to get in the first place, so I'll have to take a day off work and go down there and apply for it, wait a few months, and then go down there and take another day off work after they've told me they've approved it, and then get another one again. Just vacation days lost, really, and paperwork. Huh. Hopefully. I hope.
I mean, you'd think it'd be on file, right? You'd think they'd just be able to say, this guy, we already have it on file. It's not a physical piece of paper. It's an actual thing they have on file.
Yeah, you're probably right, but it has to be stamped in triplicate and, you know, lost in soft peat for 3 months and then brought out again before they're willing to reapprove another one. I went so far as to lose it. How arrogant and what would you call it? Disrespectful of me to lose my visa.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to make me wait on that one a bit.
We're not taking into account the Japanese
only barbarians culture. Lose their passports.
Yeah. Bummer.
Yeah.
If, you know...
Barbarians to nonetheless get business class seats. So,
Almost if only you had lost it in a different country, right? Because then, like, probably the American consulate or something.
Actually, yeah. Because if I was in another country, the American consulate wouldn't be all that busy processing new passports. And so they would probably get me one in a day.
There's an express passport option, right?
Yeah, it takes 2 weeks.
Really?
But there's an emergency service, which is what I'm going for, which apparently doesn't take 2 weeks, but you need an appointment. And the earliest appointment I could get was next Tuesday on the 9th.
Wow.
And that's just because they're busy. I mean, there's a lot of people with my problem here in this country, whereas in Bogota, Colombia, where I was previously, there's probably no Americans who've lost their passport today. Mm-hmm. I probably would have processed it that day. But... That's how it breaks. The silver lining is that I am at home and I get to see you guys.
So. It is a lot closer to Edward Snowden than I thought when we started the story, right? Because he doesn't have a valid passport right now.
Yeah.
Well,
you're a stateless person.
That's right. I'm a stateless person. I have a Japanese driver's license. That was fun going around town in New York. Because every building you go into in New York right now, you need an ID. Which I don't have except for my Japanese driver's license. And nothing on that is written in English except for my name. Thankfully, my name is not Japanese because that would be then in Japanese as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful that they usually accepted that. Well, it's got a picture on it. It's got a picture of him on it, so it's official.
Yeah.
He must not be a terrorist.
That doesn't look like them squiggly lines.
Let's see.
Terrorists can't get
it
pictures.
It matches the bear thermometer. It must be Japanese.
It still has the bear thermometer. It's always Canada in here.
It is always Canada. Oh, that sucks. Well, hopefully you enjoy your unplanned vacation here in the United States.
That's right. That's right.
He's easing that.
And hopefully nothing too difficult to replace.
Just try not to hit the table because it reverberates in the mics.
Oh, I see.
That's the only problem.
Yeah, the coasters aren't to protect my awesome finish on my desk here.
I wasn't going to say anything. No, I was kidding.
The screw's sticking up over there.
It's high quality stuff.
Yes, but buy a desk this big.
Right, right.
I dare you.
Actually, it looks like you made it, did you?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
That's quite thrifty of you.
Yeah, guy, you're looking at the new press passes up there. See that sexy media pass from the Homer's conference?
That is pretty cool, the one that has
a little ribbon on the bottom.
Yeah, so you won an award.
There was everyone who was special got a ribbon stuck to the bottom. So there was media and there were sponsors and presenters and the AHA governing committee. Tom Schmidlin is on the AHA governing committee. Got to hang out with Tom this weekend. Jamie Barlow.
I saw some of the pictures that you sent.
It was a good time. It was a really good time hanging out with those. Like, you know, going to club night, you know, I didn't get to drink a ton of beers because there were just friends everywhere, you know, like friends you don't see. So it was really cool getting to hang out with people.
And you said people were actually coming up to you. And
a few. I mean, the Homebrewers Conference is really James Spencer's place, you know, all his people. So like he's just getting mugged left and right, you know, getting pictures and stuff. But we had a few people. Carrie, guy's been listening since the very first show. You know, religiously, but he's never contacted us. And that's cool because, you know, there's probably more carries out there, which means those 3,000 downloads that we never hear from aren't just robots, you know, pulling down files and, you know, never listening to anything. So
they're just being recorded by the U.S. government.
Oh, everything almost is. Certainly.
Yeah. But
I wonder how well they have it indexed. I should send in some. It's like that joke about
there is no way it's indexed.
I wonder
well.
If they could get me a copy of my passport.
I mean, the best indexing they could do is something on the order of what Google is doing.
Yeah,
it's crazy that it went missing. I'm surprised it didn't turn up. Do you think it's sitting in your passport? Do you think it's sitting in some lost and found somewhere?
I know exactly what happened. Somebody found it on the plane, whether it be an employee or another customer, walked out, gave it to an employee of the airline, which was probably standing at a desk with a line of customers in front of them, and they threw it in a drawer somewhere. And it's sitting there in that drawer. That person forgot about it, went home that day, didn't tell anybody about it. Now it's sitting in that drawer, and about, you know, a month from now, somebody will find it and go, oh, what's this? Oh, it's a passport.
Can I present you with a different option of what happened?
What's that?
Okay, so it was a nearsighted, flight attendant who found it and gave it to the captain. But the captain said, "There's nothing I can do with this." So she gave it to the nearsighted flight attendant. And she put it in with her stuff to put it away. But it got mixed in with all her other things. And so she went home, and then she got a notice that her mother had died. And so she had to go to her mother's funeral. And now it's sucked
this
in
is
with-
all very entertaining, but I don't think this is.
Yes, but
I was just making a story. I knew exactly what was happening.
I was waiting for you to wrap it up so I could yes but it. You just went on and
it was
on.
No but. It's, there's yes and there's no
yes
but.
And okay.
You have a lot to learn about improv.
I do. I have everything to learn about improv, like even how to find it funny in many cases.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it takes a certain mind or a certain quality of, you know, appreciation of that type of humor. But I know Shane and I both love improv, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you listen to Improv for Humans, which is Matt Besser's podcast.
Unfortunately, no. I don't imbibe much media.
But you know who Matt Besser is.
Of course, from the Upright Citizens Brigade. Quite like him a lot. And if I knew he had a podcast, I'd probably check it out. I just didn't know.
And it's a fully improvised podcast. He has three other people on, and they do just fully improvise.
I actually probably will check that out.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
If you asked me if I liked improv, I would say yes, but I guess the proof is in the pudding, and everything Greg tells me to listen to, I'm like, really? It's like 5% funny.
Well, I'm asking you to like really a specific type of improv. It's not Whose Line Is It Anyway improv. This is long form improv where
those guys have a special place in my heart. I just think they touch my funny bone. It might be, but not for everybody, which is why the show didn't last very long in the first place. But it's definitely for
you
me.
Say the show didn't last very long, but and it didn't. But what came out of that is that basically the entire comic scene,
yeah, of course,
is now UCB. They all come from the UCB theater. They all.
Right.
So the UCB, there's a brand now, UCB brand that, it's bigger than Groundlings.
No, I know, yeah.
So it was vastly more successful than a little dinky Comedy Central TV show.
Oh, no, I know that. Yeah, I know that. And there's a reason for that. It was, you know, like, well, they were before their time, really. That's basic.
Well, I would say that, in fact, not were they before their... I mean, the show might have been before its time, but they were right at the right time. They struck the right coals, and that's why there's essentially a media empire that's built around the UCB.
Right.
It'll never be... I don't know. It'll never be... Like, there'll never be a Saturday Night Live thing, but it will all... But
it's a bit too heady. For Saturday Night Live.
It will, but a lot, I mean, the people from UCB go into Saturday Night Live.
I know. But every time I turn on Saturday Night Live, that's my reaction is more like that. It's like, oh, about 5% of it's fine.
Right.
The rest of it's like, really? Oh, the Lonely Island guys are on again. Okay, good. These guys are funny.
I forgot all about the... why is James crying? the guy from, Patrick, tweeted, it's like, have you seen this?
No, I don't think
he hasn't seen it. Should we show it to him?
We can have to show it to him on mic.
Him afterwards.
Yeah, but it's a parody song, basically.
Okay.
When you said Lonely Island, it's not a Lonely Island ripoff per se, but there's
it's not
similarities.
Of that high quality, but yeah. it's... It's a similar thing in that it's making fun of a kind of rapping, boastful kind of rap thing.
That's done by what looks like a high school kid. So
yeah.
That was a very risky pour.
Oh, with the laptop?
Yeah.
I'm a trained professional.
Jeff has done it plenty of times. Yes.
And I am left-handed.
My heart started beating when I saw that. I was like,
I'm left-handed, so all the accuracy was there.
And I hope your heart was beating beforehand, because otherwise...
It started beating a little harder.
Okay. Otherwise, we have a vampire, and that's not good.
Maybe in slow-mo. I don't know.
What the fuck happened in Egypt today?
Oh, you haven't been paying attention?
I have not. Been taken out, yeah.
And they suspend the concert. I knew they had threatened in 48 hours, though. Yeah. But no, I didn't hear the whole... Huh.
Yeah, so not only did they threaten, they followed through.
Yeah.
And
now they're military bulletin.
So the courts throw out the...
They suspended the Constitution. Well,
but previously, the courts threw out the parliament, right?
Yeah.
And then they didn't ratify something for the Constitution. And then now the president's been ousted and they suspended the Constitution.
This whole idea that democracy will take over the world obviously needs some tinkering.
Yeah, precisely.
Because
you got to get most of the people happy first.
you need broad cultural change for that even to be acceptable.
Economic change would help too.
Economic change would definitely help. But a major cultural shift is needed. For the idea of democratic or republican rule to be acceptable to people.
Yes. This is true. This is very true.
The idea that the majority doesn't always get its way is anathema to most people. Yeah. It's not how they're used to dealing with things.
Mm-hmm. The majority is not always right either.
Mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to economies that are not functioning properly and people are not getting education that they need. They don't know what they need.
Right. And, and then people are also used to, they're not used to being able to communicate as much as they can now.
Right.
And it is, and this is, they're used to a much more authoritarian state where you had to, if you had things that you were concerned about, you can only talk to them. The only place you could talk about it were really in private home conversations or at like your mosque or your church. That's the only place you could, you could talk about these things. And now,
if I'm unhappy, it's the government's fault.
And now technology has made it so that it's much more easy for people to disseminate opinions. And that is, we see that as a very good thing because we're used to it. We were used to this idea here. In other places, they're not used to that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're interviewing a guy from Egypt on NPR yesterday, and he's welcoming the military takeover.
Yeah.
You know, and that just sounds so foreign, you know, like maybe Morsi's not.
No, it makes sense.
The best guy, right? But
that makes sense to me, though.
Like, you know, the guy gets elected. We don't like him. Have the military kick him out. Let's try again.
Look at it this way. Look at all of the entire Arab Spring and how much peace and prosperity this has brought to the region. Those dictators had a fairly good handle on peace and prosperity until people started dealing with it. And I'm not saying that change is bad, but it's certainly not a quick and easy process.
Change,
Syria will tell you.
Change is destabilizing. Yes. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It changes. And either you have built-in mechanisms in your society to deal with it, or you have chaos.
Yes.
And what we're seeing now is not built-in mechanisms in the society to deal with it.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what's happening in Egypt.
And Syria.
And Syria. And
Libya is still fucked. I mean,
yeah, Libya is still fucked. So is Afghanistan and Iraq.
And so we want to, you know,
Pakistan's not doing too great.
And we're trying to destroy Iran's, you know, economy. So they go the same way, right?
And somewhere in North Korea is like, what? Pay attention to me again. So
we'll be good again. We want to talk now.
Well, a couple weeks ago, they turned off the hotline, right? They weren't answering the phone anymore, and people disappeared from the border fence. And like,
yeah. And now I think what happened was, I think you see this as North Korea sort of, you know, waits for its times when it thinks it'll get noticed and does a little hissy fit. Yeah. But right now they're like, I'm sure that if they wanted to do something, they'd basically be told, fuck you, shit's going down elsewhere. Yeah. Take your shit.
You need a timeout.
Yeah. And we're not going to deal with it now. And so they're just like, okay.
Right. Yeah, basically.
All right, Wes, you want to do a show?
Yeah, I think we should do one.
All right.
That's why we're here. If I can find the stop button.